League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But now, but here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
North. And the dream team of callers.
I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too.
It was easy.
It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub Show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
Let's go get after it here on a Friday afternoon on the grid in K-Dub. I mean, bottles are popping out here left and right. Me and you, same page, eye to eye, tag team champions here because we can't stay in the Pac-12 and the Pac-12 is going away. What a day. I mean, what a day. Let's start there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am actively excited to get into this because I think that your take on this largely makes no sense. So I think we can have ourselves a really enjoyable 2 hours here, however long you really want to get into the situation going on in college football right now.
All right.
Let me talk to you.
Let me talk to you, K-Dub, here on this. Let me talk to you on this one here. This is great news here. Now, the counter-argument would be, Donnie, you buffoon, you idiot. The teams aren't just going away. They're being absorbed from other conferences. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the point. Man. Here's what I used to do when you have the Pac-12. Every time the season started, I prayed that every single one of those teams would have at least one loss to try to knock them out of the playoff picture. It wasn't that, Kevin, I couldn't stay in the Pac-12, which I really can't stay in the Pac-12. But the teams deserving and under the college football guidelines, they basically got a right to it. Like, hey, we're a Power 5 conference. The winner of our conference, who's undefeated, should have a guaranteed spot in the Final Four, let's just say, or the expanded playoff. I understand that. But now, Kevin, if you take Oregon and put them in the Big Ten, they smoke Ohio State, they smoke Michigan, and they're the best team in the country. I love that because that means, like, you know what? They're really good. But I was so tired of watching Pac-12 football teams beat up on each other and then say, we deserve to be in a game and then get smoked in the playoff when we all knew they would. Yeah. This builds a path that says if they earn it, Kevin, they will earn it. And I have no more excuses if I get angry at Washington or Oregon or any of those teams.
Yeah, and again, here's why I think this makes absolutely no sense. They have not been, they being the Pac-12, Donnie, in the college football playoffs since 2016, okay? So you've not been dealing with that problem for a very long time. Last year, had USC got in by winning the Pac-12 championship game, you mean to tell me you would have been upset about Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy winner, future, potentially first overall selection, being in the college football playoff? That makes no sense. And also, we are on the heels of expansion, which you have absolutely begged for, which is going to put these teams into the college football playoff anyway. There is so much to get to with this, and we'll get to all of it.
I like
that. But I don't understand what you are celebrating. It doesn't make any sense.
Here's what it is, Kevin. Because limited, right? Whether it be the BCS, the 14 playoff, the 18, whatever it is, it's limited. And I can't stand when you would have to waste a spot by saying, we're a Power 5 conference. We got to get in. But I'm telling you, and I'm glad it doesn't. That's why I cheer every year. Like when Washington and see what they can do. Smoked, get out of town. I want to see the best teams if it's limited. If it's not limited, put them all in there. Because they'll get smoked anyway, but I won't be upset by going, man, I would have loved to see a two-loss Alabama team play in there, not Washington.
No, but that's the problem with this whole thing, though, DRS, is this limited field. We keep every time a Pac-12 team gets in, right? They had to play the number one team, Alabama, in the country, who would go out and wreck everybody. It's the same nonsense people have said about Notre Dame. And then Notre Dame would be more competitive in the semifinal game than the ultimate eventual championship game that we would go on to watch. And it's completely illogical, okay? Just because Oregon can't beat Georgia, it doesn't matter. Did you see what Georgia did in the national championship game? It is totally irrelevant. And the idea that Oregon couldn't slot in, though, as the fourth best team on a given season in the SEC is inaccurate. It's inaccurate. It is a top-heavy sport. We know it is a top-heavy sport. You did not need the death of the Pac-12 to avoid a bad 1-4 game, Donnie, when we've always been given bad 1-4 games.
Yeah, but that's not the point. That the deserving team should be in, and that's what it is.
And they are in.
Inferior
product. They are in. Donnie, this year people said Alabama deserved to be in, and they didn't deserve to be in.
They should have been
in. No, they shouldn't have, Donnie.
Alabama didn't prove anything. They proved way more. That they were going to Pac-12, they would have ran the table with ease.
And you would have said, that TCU didn't belong in, and they beat Michigan. Yeah, but they beat Michigan.
That was luck. That was luck.
It's just illogical.
We are getting to a point where we're almost at an NFL level for college football, where 5 years ago, I would have told you right here, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Lay waste those programs that don't mean anything in those conferences. They can have fun in FCS, Division II, and Division III to their heart's content. Let's get big boy football back, and it looks like we're finally doing that. The Pac-12 is gone, and we are a better society because of that, K-Dub. How about that? You agree with that one?
No,
I know you do.
No sense.
Yeah, you do.
That's a sound point.
We got a long way to go today, so don't you go anywhere. Keep it right here, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Moneyline on a Friday afternoon. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's good. The conversation is hot. And as always, this is why you love Moneyline, Kevin. We come on the air and news breaks as soon as we get on, and it's the Pac-12. Now, here's what I like a lot about this, too. These are billion-dollar entities, Kevin, these big-time college football slash basketball programs in the Power Fives, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can it be so fluid where we get reports this morning? Hey, by the way, I just got off a phone call. Oregon's good. Going to stay with the Pac-12. Literally like an hour later. Hey, by the way, signed, sealed, and delivered Oregon to the Big Ten, and the Big Ten already ratified it. How does it actually happen like that? Like, usually this is months in advance where sometimes back in, and I say like back in the day, Kevin, 2 or 3 years ago. Hey, by the way, this was hush-hush for like 6 months where they had to do massive negotiations and like Texas goes to the SEC like in the middle of the night. Now you're just seeing teams on an hour platform go, you know what? Heck yeah. Let's just go to the Big Ten, see what happens. I love it.
Yeah, I think a part of the reason is basically ever since USC left, right, or even since, you know, Oklahoma and Texas, these conversations have been ongoing where, you know, teams know what's on the table for them, conferences know what's on the table for them, and, you know, probably some last-hour negotiating tactics if need
Crazy.
Be, because there isn't kind of a question mark as to, you know, what percentage of the pie will Oregon be receiving and will UW be receiving. So there are certain elements that need to be worked out, but kind of the main headline there, I think these sides have been working towards for a really long time, a really long time.
Now, it's the fallout is going to be intriguing because musical chairs is going to go around. We'll get to the other conferences in just a moment. But there is something to be said. Like, I am a traditionalist, and I do really like history, and I like natural rivalries. It's very interesting now. It's like, okay, well, the Big Ten is going to basically absorb the Pac-12, and USC is going to be playing Ohio State in late October in, you know, Ohio State. It's very interesting on that end of it. It's almost like if you got to the SEC and they expanded so much. By the way, on the Iron Bowl, which was Auburn and Alabama, yeah, that's going away. Or, you know what? We're going to make more money, so Michigan, Ohio State no longer plays in the final game of the season, or their seasons, I should say, in the Big 12. It's odd the way it's going to look, and it's going to take some time getting used to, but I'm okay with the Pac-12 going away. But boy, oh boy. Like, you want to... And also, all these moves, Kevin, they're not... Like, there's big-time college basketball in Los Angeles. UCLA, USC. Mm-hmm. There's big-time money there. Nobody even cares about the basketball outcome here. It's all about football. Isn't that amazing?
It actually, I remember when kind of this was first starting, and they're like, man, wow, what an interesting change for, you know, UCLA hoops. And I went, what? No. Certainly that they're only moving the football program. Like, I couldn't believe the notion that UCLA is all of a sudden going to have to play Big Ten basketball, which is just my
like Rutgers.
Yeah, I need those West Coast guards putting Zach Edey in hell immediately. Like, they need to advance the college basketball aspect of this but before even the college football part. But, yeah, it does show what the driving force is here. And look, it has so many different ramifications, right? Because, you know, and the college football stuff is a big part of it, right? But the fact that now the Big Ten does add UCLA basketball, it's UCLA basketball, Donnie.
Yeah.
Is that the most storied program in the history of college basketball? I mean, come on, talking here?
One of the true blue bloods there. And also, you're right about that. Like, you're going to sit here in late February, Kevin, like, hey, how about that Michigan-UCLA Big Ten conference game? It's kind of wild because I like the fact that, and again, they're not just absorbing the Pac-12, which means like, okay, we get Oregon State and like teams like Washington State. You're taking the cream of the crop and moving them in. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. But also, you know, iron sharpens iron. You take the best of them, the best of the Big Ten. I was once a hater, again, of change. I'm not so much a hater on this end of it.
So, you know, two kind of items there. The back end of it, though, and we can get into this more, it's going to be very interesting to see, though, because, man, the Big Ten does feel now like it has a lot of top teams there, right, in terms of college football, and how that'll kind of play in terms of what kind of record are you going to need to get in, right? I mean, you've got the staples of Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and then you add USC, UCLA, Oregon, right? I mean, it's just an absolutely loaded conference college football-wise, but, you know, college basketball-wise and beyond that, you know, I heard yesterday that they were kind of doing some look-aheads DRS to 2024, and it's like, yeah, man, I don't know how we're going to put this schedule together. I mean, this doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Like, we're randomly going to California for one day.
Yes, but here's the bigger picture now, Kevin. You no longer have the, hey, by the way, we're in a conference, 9 teams, 10 teams. We play pretty much a round robin, but we got 3 or 4 games open. We play cupcakes. Does this get rid of the cupcakes?
No.
Because I know these coaches love cupcakes, and they love to host games and pick up 4 free victories. If that was one of the downfalls, like, hey, by the way, we had all these new teams in here, but we're only going to play like a 6-game conference schedule would be ludicrous. Yeah. By the way, freezing cold takes, Kevin, let me read you this. This is from Brett McMurphy, 9/20/2022. So obviously, about 2 years ago, or actually, no, less than a year ago at this point. It says Pac-12's George Klobuchar tells whoever, quote, no one's going anywhere. If schools were leaving for the Big Ten, they would have already left. He also said he's confident the 10 schools will sign a grant of rights if we put the right agreement in front of them. Didn't happen. End of story here. And I heard, Kevin, by the way, they were scrambling for that as well. But before we get to that point here, phone lines are open, 844-843-6879. Also, if you want to reach us through Twitter, hashtag SGMoneyline, easy to get through. Moose is stepping to the table here, K-Dub, on a Friday afternoon on the grid. It's Donnie and Kevin. What's up, Moose?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Well, I hope.
Hey.
So, still having a little bit difficulty hearing you guys, but that's okay. I'll muscle through it. But what do you think they're going to do? Are they going to have, like, a Big Ten West Conference, an East Conference, and maybe a Central Conference? Because there's 18 teams. Is that my understanding now? 18 teams in the Big Ten? So are they going to split them up like...
They can't go to three of them. And a lot of these conferences. Sorry, Moose. The connection's just not great today, brother. It's just not. It's just what it is. I mean, But to answer his question, you can't go to three divisions when all these other spots, Donnie, are kind of tearing up the divisions, right? Because yes. You're just trying to get the two best teams into your format. Now, funny enough, one of the teams that made that move, right, was the Pac-12, which doesn't exist anymore. But the ACC made that move this year, so the Coastal and the Atlantic are out. The Big 12 has made that move already prior. It's, the two, let's be honest here, right? There's the Power 5 down to the Power 4, but we know the two big dogs are the Big 10 and the SEC. And those are the two, kind of schools that, or at least conferences that we're still dealing with those divisions. I don't know if this will make divisions seem more important, Donnie, but that way you can almost kind of isolate those West Coast schools in the Big Ten to one division, or I don't know how they're going to try and play it.
Yes. No, they... Here's what the issue a lot of the times is, Kevin, and maybe schools like Michigan, Ohio State don't, but you're not talking about the problem is, hey, we don't feel like paying a charter for the Ohio State football team. Like, no, there's plenty of money. They do that all the time. Same thing with the top-level basketball programs, all chartered all the time. The issue is here, the money really starts to rack up, Kevin, not in the football team or the basketball team. It's the track team. It's the women's basketball team. It's the, softball team. It's the baseball team, right? Because you're saying to yourself, hey, look at this. Michigan's going to play Michigan State, and then we're going to go to India. Like, that's not that big of travel plans. But when you start now, Kevin, going, hey, by the way, Michigan baseball is going to play at Oregon, at USC, and at, it's like, wait, what? Are we going back and forth? Are we staying out there? Are we have like $1 million travel charge for 4 days? It's pretty crazy where it adds up that way. That's always the hardest part where it's like, hey, look, yes, we understand UCLA can get on a plane and play Ohio State, but the other sports is where it really racks up because they're also going to be Big Ten teams.
Yeah, that's why I think the Big Ten adding a couple of the other West Coast schools was, probably important right now. But then again, are we going to, like when McVay and the Rams would come and they'd have to play the Rams 1 week and then they'd have to play the Jets and the Giants,
yes,
and just
stay on the East Coast.
But you're going to spend 2 weeks out in LA, yes, if you're Ohio, correct, State?
Yep. Bring the professors out, bring the tutors out. We're going on a road trip here between the old Pac-12 and the Big Ten. It's a Friday afternoon. Love and life here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll take your calls and also check in Twitter up there. We got a long way to go and a lot of hot topics. Don't go anywhere. It's Donnie, Kevin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Man, K-Dub, we got a lot of hot topics here on a Friday, which is great. It's a perfect way to wind down your week listening to the Sports Grid Network right here on Moneyline. It's Kevin and Donnie, SiriusXM channel 159. There are a lot of things here, too. Live action, K-Dub. I know you're invested in this and watching. PGA Tour, Wyndham Championship here. Looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. You want to talk about a divide. Russell Henley, plus 160. Next closest guy, Lucas Glover, plus 750, along with Adam Svensson, wow, plus 750. So we do have that. I was talking about this morning on the show. When do we get that movement where you can sort of say, okay, who are you going to be chasing down? Looks like apparently it's Russell Henley here.
Yeah, excuse me. This is one of these tournaments, right, where Henley was someone that was right near the top of the leaderboard heading in. So whenever you're going to get a guy like that, who is way out in front of everybody else, it's going to, in terms, and when I say way out in front of everybody else, I mean everybody else that was kind of near that top.
Yes.
That's going to be the end result on the board, but, he's only two shots up on Glover and Svensson, and mm-hmm. all three of those guys have gone final. So those are certainly within range golfers here, as I see Sung J.M., did today what I needed him to do yesterday, and I'm happy for him. It's totally great. I'll be honest with you, DRS. It was one of those things. Yesterday just wasn't a good day for me on the golf, and sometimes you got to know if a tournament's not yours, and I'm not sure the Wyndham Championship is a tournament for me.
It stinks after one day, right? Because you want to be like, hey, your guy's out front running, or your guy's in the lead, or your guy's charging up the leaderboard. Certainly makes it much, much more interesting to do that. And again, there's not a ton of big names out here. By the way, Adam Scott underway, 5-under yesterday. Kevin Birdie, the first hole here from what I'm looking at, and he moves to 7-under, tied for top five. So he's charging up that leaderboard, and we talked about it too, the
I guess, match bet you could have. One versus one, Adam Scott, straight up versus Justin Thomas. You know, maybe that birdie on hole number one already knocks Justin Thomas out of it, and he hasn't began his day yet, so... Long way to go in this tournament overall, yeah. But it looks like somebody is separating themselves.
Yeah, I mean this guy JT though. If this guy is not able to make the cut here, and the cut line's not even going to be all that aggressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the current projection? -1, -2.
-1. It says -1. I mean, right on ESPN. Come on, man.
You know, this is one of those things where it's indefensible. And again, making the cut isn't the bar for Justin Thomas.
Exactly.
It's not. You know what
cut.
I mean? And but like that's what we're like. Hey, do you think he'll make the cut? I don't know if you have it on. I have on the main feed right now, and he did just make a birdie putt on too.
Oh.
I gotta tell you, a lot of applause for Justin Thomas there. So it's exactly. I feel like I'm there right now. You know, look, he's got a long round ahead of him, Donnie. But it's got to be a really good one.
It does have to be a really good one here. And there is a lot of action here. We were talking some Pac-12, you know, Big Ten and what that actually means. We have a lot of time in hour number two to hit that again. And also the good part about that, Kevin, is a lot more information still coming out live, so we can sort of backlog that and get after it. There is an afternoon Major League Baseball game today. And from the thought process of the early line this morning, Braves, Cubs might have your interest. And the joke again is, look, you go outside your front door, right? And you say, all right, what's the wind at? And they said, hey, hon, it's 9 miles an hour out there. And I'd be like, man, like, oh, my God, my SUV's rolling down the street. I can't even believe, like, you can even go outside, right? Like, that's what I'm led to believe at Wrigley. But I love, because I never thought of it the way you did, which you brought it up and it was a great, you know, comment. Look, you can still score runs if wind is blowing in a stadium. And it's such a good point, too. Like, you watch these games, like, it's apparently, like, no outfielders, Kevin. Just bring them all into the infield because you can't even put the ball in the air. It's 8.5 with two scorching hot offenses here in Chicago today.
So that is always the part of this that kind of bothers. And you, I know it's kind of funny because you do a great job just taking advantage of it and betting it, and I just get angry. I feel like it's just the most ridiculous thing. Because it starts from this notion of, man, you know, wind's blowing in. I like the under. It's like, oh, yeah? Do you think the books didn't check the weather before they posted the number? And then occasionally, and this reminder that comes in, and it's fleeting at times, right? But the books do not post a number of, hey, we think there's going to be 8.5 runs in this game, right? It's, look, this is the number that we need to post for this baseball game because people are going to come in and try and bet an under. Because occasionally, you see these numbers, like, what are they doing, man? And you have, as you said, just two red-hot lineups here. Not like we're dealing with, you know, complete aces or, you know, either direction. What's this 8.5? Like, the best, Donnie, is if the same pitchers, same lineups, wind's blowing out, it's a 12. It's a 12.
Exactly. And again, it's not like you... Hey, you just get the ball in the air and it's a 250-foot shot, but it turns into 350. That's not what it is. Like, you're only talking about like a few feet there of what the movement actually will be, but it's not 25 miles an hour blowing dead end. It's 9. And that's like it could be 5. It could be 11. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's already a small ballpark. It's not that big of a deal. And also keep in mind, this is an old Wrigley Field. And I said, well, what does that mean, Donnie? They have a lot of scoreboards now in the outfield there that blocks a lot of those wind streams, and that makes a big difference as well. Just some food for thought. It doesn't guarantee they're going to hit. You know, it doesn't say there's going to be 2-1 or it's going to be 11-10, but two really good teams here that people go, I'm just going under. Wind's in the Wrigley. That means under. No, it doesn't here. I would like to actually see what the numbers would be because we've seen sometimes, Kevin, like 6.5 at Wrigley. What? They got that in the first five innings. No problem.
And that all started for me. There was a day where they did post, I think, like a 6.5. And this was back when they were, like, 6.5s were a total rarity. Not that season where 6.5s were posted every single damn day because they broke baseball for a little bit. And I was like, what is going on here? It's like, oh, they're never going to be able to. And, like, the game blew up. Like, the star didn't even make it out of the first inning. It was like a Cubs-Pirates game or something like that. Maybe I could find it. So, that's been a longstanding point for me. But I thought, once again, I don't know what it is. You know what probably is, Donnie? It's probably more of you and I being completely correct about how expanded fields helps. I feel like every single Friday we set up, you know, we got a new slate of series. I know there are so many incredible series. And you know what the reason is? Because you and I are right. that bigger playoff field make things more interesting.
Yes. But people will tell you, Kevin, back in the day when one team from the National League and one team from the American League, because your quote-unquote playoffs, Kevin, you had 162 games, Kevin, to get this right, and you didn't. Stop it. More teams in it to win, which is what you look at the deadline. What do you like better, where 98% of the teams are out of it and they just trade all their good players to the big market cities? Yeah, that's a lot of fun. No, I like to look at it and go, wow, there's seven or eight teams that are still vying for playoff positioning when 5 years ago they wouldn't be.
Well, imagine, so, and again, like this is the funniest part of this, right? Now, I have and will continue to slander the Angels. That's of course going to be the case, Donnie. All of the people that are excited that Ohtani has a chance to be in the playoffs, say thank you to the way that this is. You know, for people that are excited for Dodgers Padres tonight,
yes,
say thank you. Because, you know, if not, I mean, and maybe this is actually reason to be upset about it, like Juan Soto probably be playing for a different baseball team right now.
Again, and I like where you're going here, because it used to be win your division and get in the playoffs or else. The Phillies, what are you playing for? They might be the hottest team in baseball in August and September and finish 25 games over 500. Yeah, good luck, because the Braves are the best team in baseball. You don't get in.
And somehow people think that Marlins Phillies this past week would have mattered more if you could only get in by winning your division.
Mm-hmm.
These people are, of course, wrong, and you should stop listening to their opinions on such matters.
It's this one. We should just go back to the BCS. It was better when there was just two teams. See that? See how we take that? There are people out there with those thought process. We only have a couple minutes left here in this segment, but just got word from behind the scenes, K-Dub, working on the phone lines. Doesn't look like we might be able to get an official agreement, but by next week, we should have that. Because we love taking phone calls. We love hearing from the people, and we certainly don't want to go away. We will make sure we get that fixed by next week. So what do we do in the meantime? Hashtag SG Moneyline on Twitter. Reach out to us. You got a topic. You got a game. You just want to get something off your chest. That's what it's here for today. By the way, people asked for it yesterday, Kevin. Hey, look, we need two same game parlays today, not just one, and they're out there now, people. You get what you want. Get what you want.
Yes, they are. We will go over those, but I also feel like since you're talking about next week, it is a good time to make this point.
Oh no!
I am out all of next week, not just the usual 2 days.
Yeah, tremendous.
I agree. I am, of course, going to be there Saturday and Sunday betting above the rim. No JY on Saturday. JY out for another betting above the rim. Unfortunate scenes there. But, now let's Don, Don, you want to step up and in? I mean, let's make the call here.
Well, I mean, especially now. Hold on now. Yep. So now you're going down. This could take us like an hour to get through. Mm-hmm. You bring me on a betting above the rim where normally, let's just say, it's like, hey, by the way, we got six games today, all playoffs, ramifications. This team just got knocked out. Where is this team going to be next year? They're cutting guys. You can get loose. But you want to have some fun? You put me on betting above the rim where nothing is going on. That's the best show we might ever have. You even get the basketball.
I actually think you are much better suited for this betting above the rim than when it's like wall-to-wall playoff action kind of thing. You'd be like, oh, listen, we'll make it splash. But there are a couple of things that we will hit here, including, I know some people are not as interested, but probably the biggest game of the WNBA season to date, where the New York Liberty will host the Vegas Aces, and the Liberty have to prove that they can hang with this team, because otherwise it might be -500 hanging out there for that Aces team to win the championship.
There you go. Let's spin it around Major League Baseball. Hot topics out here, a ton ready to go. Sorry about the phone lines today, but make sure you hit us up on Twitter. Hashtag SG Moneyline. Let us know what you feel. It's Donnie and Kevin on a Friday afternoon having some fun right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rockin' and rollin' Friday afternoon, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's Money Line
Sorry, the phone line's currently down right now. Hit us up on Twitter, hashtag SG Moneyline. By the way, let's talk about this topic. One of the more odd things you're going to hear, Kevin, the New York Yankees, right? Misdiagnosis, no diagnosis, you know, Aaron Judge's foot and this and that. Forget all that. We're led to believe right now that Anthony Rizzo had a collision with Fernando Tatis on, I think it was it May 28th? What's the exact day here? I got it written down. May 28th. That he might still have lingering effects from that day. And if you say that's ludicrous, that's crazy. Anthony Rizzo is a great baseball player. Yeah. Coming into this season, one of the guys I talked about going like, are you kidding me? This guy in this ballpark with no shift, he might benefit, Kevin, more than anybody in Major League Baseball. Starts the season out right through May 28th, above average, of 304 that he was hitting, 11 home runs. So just flip that to a full season. That probably equates to close to 30 home runs, you know, probably 100 RBI and all that stuff, and away the Yankees go. One home run since that collision. 175 batting average here. And now we're saying, like, oh, by the way, he might have had a concussion the entire way and was misdiagnosed every single day. My goodness.
He should sue the Yankees. The Yankees team doctors should all be fired. And none of that is a joke. The fact that, basically, Donnie, if a pitcher goes out there, right, and has, like, three bad starts in a row, they get put on the IL. Right? Yes. The team's like, whoa. All right, hold on. Guys, like, I'm healthy as can be. Like, brother, no, you're not. Have you seen your stuff recently? Like, something's wrong here, right? You're Anthony Rizzo, one of the premier first basemen in this league, had a collision. You, with just a couple of bits of information, are able to point to the clearest drop-off in play of probably his career, right? Yes. And it all dates to that day. And the Yankees organization couldn't figure it out until the beginning of August. It's an embarrassment. I feel bad for Anthony Rizzo. I do hope, because we know athletes are stubborn, that, you know, he wasn't kind of well aware of this the whole time and trying to push through. Although, I won't blame him mightily for that, because these doctors are supposed to be in place to prevent athletes from doing it here. An absolute embarrassment from the Yankees franchise here, this Anthony Rizzo situation.
The angle that you brought up is so true, because let's take it away from a day-to-day player, or should I say a player that's in the field, not a pitcher. Hey, wonder what's wrong with Anthony Rizzo. I don't know. Well, what was he doing before? Well, hey, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. What is he now? He's the worst hitter. Man, I can't quite figure that out. Okay, let's keep playing through and see what happens here. Gerrit Cole goes on the mound in the first inning, Kevin. Gas at 99. He throws two fastballs at 94 in inning number two. The Steinbrenners come out of the box. The managers come out of the box. They shut down the Yes broadcast and make sure they give him an MRI on the mound immediately to see why he had a drop in velocity. But you're telling me a hitter that's like a career 300 guy can't hit his way out of a paper bag for months. You're like, hey, man, can't figure this thing out. And then one day he probably comes and goes, hey, you know what? You know, don't feel that good today. I might have dated back to this. It's like, what is going? Like, this isn't high school baseball where it's like, oh, you know what? It was misdiagnosed. You have the best trainers in the world around you on a day-to-day basis, and you're saying, like, wait, we can't figure this out. He went from 300 to 175. It's like, well, yeah, he's Joey Gallo. That's what he does. He was amazing at 300, but now he's back to normal. This is Anthony Rizzo, and no shift.
Yeah. No, and again, like, that's kind of the part where you're like, how are they supposed to know he's not feeling great? Like, the line of demarcation is a collision that he had. Like, if a ball slips out of a pitcher's hands, they're like, hold on, should we get a mound visit with all 14 doctors we have right out there? But it's also just, at some point, a player with a proven track record, let's check. I mean, honestly, I don't want to, like, make light of a concussion, so I'm not going to make that point here. But, like, is something wrong with DJ LeMahieu, too? Like, maybe he's not fully recovered. I'm not, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, it is funny, but it's not funny. Like, not concussion symptoms, right? But, like, maybe they've not been able to actually get Aaron Judge healthy or Stanton healthy here. Like, there are such things as bad training staffs. The Chicago Bulls essentially are ending Lonzo Ball's career on a daily basis, right? Like, maybe the Yankees have a bad training staff.
It's something to look into. Like, this is
a judge normal. Nonsense. Sorry to cut you off there, but like, they're like, yeah, man, like, they, you know, listen, dude, toe's injured here, you know, no IL, though, I'm sure it'll be fine. They're like, yeah, probably won't see him for months. What? What's going on here?
Or even, again, it's like, hey, by the way, he could be back in a week. He might not be back in 2 years. Like, hold on, what did I just miss here on this? Like, who is diagnosing these type of injuries at this point? But it's food for thought, man. And who knows? Like, you don't even worry. Forget about, like, this year in itself. To have a concussion that would linger possibly for 2 full months, that's not like, hey, oh, man, we forgot to give him the Advil, Kevin. Like, if we just gave him Advil, like, he'd be fine. Here's take two. Take a day off. You'll get back in the lineup. Who knows when he's coming back at this point? Because if it's that bad, and what I was saying from before this morning also was, he might have had a concussion that was misdiagnosed. But any, like, swift movement, like, it could be just like a slight whiplash or, hey, you know what, I dove for a baseball here or there, where you rattle your brain again when it wasn't ready. That's devastating. He might have multiple concussions, Kevin, since that first concussion that nobody even knew about.
Yeah, which again is why I'm like, he should probably end up suing the New York Yankees. Like, I'm not kidding about that. That's a real thing. This isn't because I'm mad about the Yankees season. I spent most of this morning defending the Yankees season, on air and off air, office chatter. Yankees were a hot topic. So this is, to me, a scenario where we have to be honest with ourselves here. What is going on with Anthony Rizzo is as unacceptable as it gets from a professional franchise.
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, checking in here on Twitter, Casey Monstar, hashtag SG Moneyline. As far as college football goes, what if they did something similar to major soccer leagues? And he says, what I mean, rate teams each year and teams could get regulated down and move up each year, get rid of all the conferences. Basically what it means here, Casey, is they're going to go to super conferences. And they're going to have their big slice of the pie all for those power teams, and everybody else just gets crumbs. That's probably what's going to happen.
So my question to you, as someone who is a fan of the super conference, how many teams, hey, let's not even call it a super conference, right? Just you just want a different league, right?
Yeah.
How many teams do you envision being in that college football super league?
Like, because the interesting part is it's only predicated on football. Like, that's it. Like, they don't care about anything else. I would, like, I keep throwing out, like, the 40. Like, I think there's 40 legitimate teams out there that could claim we're worth enough money to be in this league, to be an asset. I would say 40 teams.
But so here's the thing, though. You're right. You cannot. Would it really be worth it to lose out on being in the NCAA tournament? Like, because you're. I don't know. Is that going to be the death of all these athletic programs, Donnie, if you went to Super Leagues?
It's a good point you bring up here, too, because you know what's going to happen next? Those top 40 programs in basketball go, why are we sharing money with Hampton? Why are we sharing money with the Southland Conference? Let's have our own top 40 tournament for a championship and get after it. Now, granted, we love the Field of 64, and it's expanded up to a couple more teams now. That's part of the tradition of it, but money is ruling the world. Like, if you told Ohio State, hey, look, let's get, and I just use Ohio State just because they're a big name. Well, let's just cut this down to 40 teams. Like, our split is we get $13 million for making the tournament. I can guarantee you guys $50 million a year for making the tournament. And they'd be like, you know what? Forget every other little conference that participates. It's all about money.
Yeah, the thing is, I guess, what are the protections that exist? Because, you know, it's you say the phrase Super League. Remember they tried to create that Super League in soccer where they were going to get rid of I guess the Champions League would have been the one that
it was basically we're taking like the top 20 teams or whatever it is and everybody else just go away. And the teams, rightfully so, I said, look, the tradition is like soccer is for the people, like fifth league, fourth league, third, like they can't go away. It's part of our like ingrained nature here. Yeah. And it was good they fought against that. But if they just took all the best teams and combined, and it's probably going to have a reboot, Kevin, in 5 years. It really is.
But the thing might be, though, like, this just might be the reboot, Donnie. Like, it may not need to go further than this, right? Like these are very stark, stark changes that we are dealing with at this point in time here in college football. So it's going to then the SEC and the Big Ten are going to come together. I don't think we have to go that far. But I am just curious, is the dust going to settle? We will land the remainder of these Pac-12 teams in their conferences, and then we're going to kind of just be stationary for a while, Donnie. Maybe Notre Dame will join a conference, but really outside of that, not much else going to be doing here.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think all the decks, how many more chairs can you move around the decks at this point right now? You know, the next card, I guess, is going to be the ACC, but it seems like their lawyers were much better than the university lawyers at this point at the ACC headquarters, where it's like, you're not, because typically, Kevin, the jockeying for a position, I was like, oh my goodness, like, the SEC should just pick up the phone and be like, hey, Clemson, come on over, we're doing this. Florida State, you're basically in Alabama anyway, as it is, come on over here, we're going to steal you, we're going to make a ton of money. And the SEC goes like, let me send you this piece of paper that says, we'll bankrupt you before you leave. And they go, oh, man, you know what? Can't even pick up the phone anymore at this point. Yeah. When the Pac-12, it was like, hey, you want to take a phone call here real quick? What do you say about coming to the Big Ten? Hey, sounds good. Done deal. Just signed off on it. See ya. That's the crazy part about it.
There is something, and this is a semi-off topic, but not totally, right, where it's like the SEC adds Florida State and Miami. And then you know what my brain goes to? How in the world is Alabama one of the premier programs in college football? I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. I know that they've been doing this forever and they have all the facilities, yeah. Donnie. But it's like, oh yeah, we're recruiting. Do you want to go to Florida State or Alabama? And these
true.
Kids just go to Alabama every year. It's preposterous.
But you do, and the best part about it is you have to credit Nick Saban, because Alabama lost their luster when they were just milling around and trying to get like Rich Rodriguez's of the world to go down there. And then Nick Saban fell into their lap out of Miami and became that dynasty again. But I tell you what used to be interesting, too, is now the money is so big, it's like if Florida State wants to go to the SEC, they'll be welcomed in. When 15 years ago, Florida would have fought tooth and nail civil war to keep them out of the SEC because they figured that was more prestigious for them to be there. Now they would just shake hands, like, you know what, man, it's a great idea. We're going to make more money. Let's do it. It's like it's in wrestling terms, right? Like, hey, I need another guy out here so we can go around and sell out houses and, you know, work together and make a lot of money. Like, that's now what it is, as opposed to hating each other. By the way, Mammoth Hops, K-Dub. Can't wrestle yourself. Don't go into business for yourself here. Mammoth Hops on Twitter, hashtag SG Moneyline. It's back at it today, K-Dub. Says, Ohtani run prop and Yelich total bases today, plus 361. So he went Shohei Ohtani to score a run today against the Mariners and Christian Yelich over 1.5 at a plus 125 price. Also, there's a couple other plays he's firing in here. Good stuff here. Look at that. Really getting after it here. How about that?
Yeah, you know, the Ohtani thing, by the way, his last, three starts now are, is it, no, it's not, it's the last two outings, Donnie, there's been some type of injury for Shohei, right? Where he had, like, the Detroit game, he went out there, he was fine through the first game, but then they put him back out there on the back, and then last game, you know, the hand cramp, whatever it might be, I don't know, we'll see.
Notice he was swinging the bat, too, and shaking that hand. So maybe an issue that you might have to watch out for. Looks like more people getting through here on the Twitter machine. We'll get to those next, and also a ton of topics here to go. It's a Friday afternoon. No better place to be than wind down the week with us, Donnie and Kevin, right here on Moneyline. We will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some say, K-Dub, Friday is payday here. So we're going to give out those same game parlays in just a second today. Two of them popping, but I did want to get to the hashtag FG money line here. Steve at SpartySC says, I'm a huge Big Ten fan, but anybody check on Bill Walton's mental health today? Also, I'm going to really miss the tradition of the Pac-12 Big Ten Rose Bowl. There was nothing better on New Year's Day. P.S. Why do you keep calling this Twitter? It is Twitter. It's a Twitter machine. I can't. X doesn't make. I feel if I say get a hold of us on X, like even though we know it's X,
you come
like, what
off
is that?
Like a fool. No. You come off ridiculous. If you say yo, I just
reason X.
If you say hey, hit us up on X.
Yes.
Nah, you're coming off ridiculous. Look, here's the deal. If I say hit me up on X, there's a chance you'd go, huh?
Like
I don't know what that means. Right.
Exactly.
If I say hit me up on Twitter. And you go, oh, I don't know what that is.
Yes.
You're a clown.
Yeah.
That's exactly. All. That's all there is to it. There's no nice way to put that. So sorry, I had to bully.
By the way, Steve does. He says he does like the Pac-12 Big Ten Rose Bowl, and I appreciate. Like, we might do a whole hour on my anger towards the Pac-12 and the Rose Bowl and how the Rose Bowl is supposed to be important. But Kevin, let me go back to my childhood, my teenage years, when the words would come out from the Big Ten teams and they would tell me, you know what? We wouldn't even care about going. The national championship game, that's secondary. Winning the Rose Bowl is what really matters. So the Pac-12, you get what you get at this point. But by the way, let's get to these same game parlays. For me, man overboard, Kevin. Man overboard. Yoshida to get a run for the Red Sox. Devers and Casas to record a hit plus 216. And for you, what's in the bag? What is it? What's in the
bag? We got Trey Turner, 2+ bags.
Love
Bryce Harper, 2+ bags. That's bases. Plus 284, no matter what the graphics department wants to say.
That's pretty good. By the way, the DRS household will be in the building against the Royals on Saturday night. So big performance is expected. Totals to the over is mandatory, and we'll certainly get down with that. But a ton of hot topics to go, including fallout with the Big Ten, the Big 12, whoever. Where's the ACC? What are they doing? We have all that and more. Don't you go anywhere. It's SiriusXM Channel 159.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.